Because there's this idea that the mothers didn't want the children. We have this, a mother would kill a baby. It's sort of... So in the 80s, I had children in the 80s, and the very... In 79, 80, Azaria Chamberlain, yeah, died, went missing. And I was at a dinner party, and my eldest, my firstborn was probably, I don't know, 6 months old, and she was in the next room. And the topic came up, and they turned and asked me, well, you know, don't you reckon a mother would easily kill a baby? They drive you insane, you know, wake you up, you have to feed them all the time. And I said, I really don't understand how a mother could kill a baby. I don't understand it. But they didn't agree with me. Those without children thought it was quite reasonable to expect it, that a mother would kill her baby. I was sort of like, oh, no. But anyway, she, of course, we know her story. But around that time was when the relinquishing mothers were fighting to try and get the laws changed, the beginning of the laws changing.
This is Rosemary Farrell. She's 57 and she lives over in Albury, Wodonga. She was forcefully removed from her mother at birth in Sydney in 1959.
I wasn't told I was adopted till I was five, so that was quite... a strange event. Mm. And my mother said, she showed me a photograph of the Women's Weekly, and there was a woman and a little boy sitting on a mat, and my mother saying to me, I see this little boy, he looks so happy, doesn't he look happy? Oh, yeah, like he looks, yeah, looks pretty happy. Yeah, he's adopted, right. Yeah, so he couldn't live with his parents, but he lives with these parents who are, you know, really good for him, and he really loves, he likes these parents a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how happy he is, and he's got, you know, a truck or whatever it was he was playing with. And then she says, now you were adopted, and Chris was adopted, my brother Chris, but your brother Paul was not adopted. Oh, yeah, all right, okay. And you're never to speak of this again, and you are never to tell anyone. It was a state-run thing, by the, as well as the churches, all the churches, and the state, all the states. The hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody was in on it because it was deemed inappropriate and immoral to have a child out of wedlock, and the child would be teased at school, so you can't have that, so the child has to go somewhere else. But the whole idea of it came out of a eugenics movement of the 19th century,
mm-hmm.
in America, and it came to Australia. And it was in, and the Australian government really engaged in the eugenics movement because they were trying to do something about the illegitimate children in the colony, because there were so many in the colony. So it started like that. 250,000 babies were forcibly adopted in Australia between 1950 and 1970. When the laws were changed in the 1990s, the opportunity came for adopted people to locate and reunite their biological families. By this time, the harm done to children and parents through forced adoption practices mm-hmm. had become known. And I know a woman who was 15 in the 70s, and she described her experience, which was the pillow over her face. She said she was in labour, and the midwife said, "Ah, she's unmarried." Right. And then the pillow on her face, the screen coming up in front of her, the baby's delivered, and taken out screaming, and she never knew the sex of her baby or what happened to her baby. And a long time later, you know, 40 years later, she was reunited with him, but she found out that he was actually in a wire cot for 5 months waiting for someone to adopt him. So the babies didn't always have a pair of arms to go into. And institution organised the flow of babies for the infertile. So it was like a baby factory. Okay, so it was just infertile because the infertile were the ones who needed a baby, and the infertile were married and had a house and a car.
And they deserved the baby.
They deserved the baby, unlike the unmarried mother who didn't deserve her baby. So my mother, my mother's signature, well, my aunt says it's not her signature. Mm. My mother looks at it and just goes into sort of shock. And she just said, oh, I was drugged. So I researched that and found, yes, they were drugged. They were drugged with barbiturates. Yeah, they filled in information about the child's family. So I've got this form I eventually got from Docs describing my mother and describing her description of my father. And so I showed my father. He was really upset. He was really upset because it wasn't true. And where did they get all these lies from? This fabrication to try and have some sort of background of the babies. They wanted to try and put the babies into families that they would look like. Because they didn't want the adopting parents to be embarrassed. And so we had forced adoption of babies then. It doesn't happen now. Adoption is open because the mother and the child, the importance of that bond, that the child knows something, is really important. And it's recognised by the UN, and we were a signatory to the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child in the 1970s, and that began the changes in the adoption laws. And I think women who have been adopted as babies and who go on and have babies really get it in a different way to men who were adopted as babies. Don't quite get what their mother's been through in the same way. I mean, they can't. And I honestly thought I really only needed to know my mother. But when I found her, I realised I needed to know my mother and my father. And because on the birth certificate it had father unknown, and my aunt saw this. I showed my aunt when I met my aunt. I showed all this paperwork, and it wasn't my mother's signature, and father unknown. Oh, a load of rubbish. You know, but do you think we could actually get his name? Everyone kind of knew who he was, but the other siblings were so young, they didn't really know his name. So trying to find out what his name was, because it wasn't there on the birth certificate, and the father's names weren't put there because they could be prosecuted. Yeah, because they could be prosecuted for having a woman pregnant and not marrying her. They could be prosecuted. Okay, so if my mother had found me, or if I had found my mother, we could be arrested and imprisoned for 7 years under the order of adoption, the Supreme Court order of New South Wales. So it was illegal for the mothers and the children to ever have any contact ever. So it was only a change in the law in the 1990s.
In March 2013, then Prime Minister Julia Gillard gave an apology to the hundreds of thousands of people who were affected by the forced adoption policies of the Australian government.
The day that Julia gave the apology was the day that Simon Crean decided that he would challenge her for the Prime Ministership and leadership of the Labor Party. So she left her office and came down to us and gave of herself, and then walked into a party room meeting where her leadership was being challenged. And so on the news that night, it was all about the leadership challenge, which didn't eventuate with Simon Crean. And so people go, I didn't even hear about that apology. What happened? You're going, Because that day it was hijacked by a man, because he could have done any other day, but no, that day. And it's quite interesting. You just wonder, is there something in their subconscious? What was going on there? After she spoke, Tony Abbott stood up to speak and said, you know, it's great that we all sort of found each other again, and but the real mothers did a good job, something along those lines.
Mm.
And the women who had relinquished their babies or had their babies forcefully taken started calling out, I am the real mother. We are the real mothers. Boo! And so in Parliament House, 800 people started booing Tony Abbott. My father is booing. Like, we're all booing Tony Abbott because he had got it to go wrong. So that day was, like, phenomenal. And as I was leaving, there were people, like, just against walls crying and crying and crying. Children just, even now adults crying. To you, the mothers who were betrayed by a system that gave you no choice and subjected you to manipulation, mistreatment and malpractice, we apologise. We say sorry to you, the mothers who were denied knowledge of your rights, which meant you could not provide informed consent. You were given false assurances. You were forced to endure the coercion and brutality of practices that were unethical and in many cases illegal. This is what Julia wrote out. For the loss, the grief, the disempowerment, the stigmatization and the guilt, we say sorry. We apologize to the sons and daughters who grew up not knowing how much you were wanted and loved. And then to the fathers, my father like this, to you, the fathers who were excluded from the lives of your children and deprived of the dignity of recognition on your children's birth records, we say sorry. We acknowledge your loss and grief. When you have a baby, that baby is you. It's bizarre that it is.
Mm-hmm.